The book of Jeremiah, chapter number 7. Jeremiah, chapter number 7. You're finding your place there. Let me just make a quick comment. Thank the Lord for a great, great Lord's Day last week on Sunday. I know you as well as I, we enjoyed Brother Pollard being with us. We thank the Lord for that. And great, great message that he brought. We thank the Lord for His attentiveness to the will of God in bringing God's Word to us. And then our evening service was such a joy to be able to sing some patriotic numbers out there, hear a few testimonies, and then be able to send off some tracts. I know all of you got my note. It was amazing. We prayed for those tracts before we turned them loose on the balloons, and then we know at least one of them was found in the hands of a young lady in Houston, Mississippi, 195 miles away. And come to find out a little bit more about her and her family. They're a military family over there. So we thank the Lord for that. It was an encouragement to her, I know. And we pray that others were found as well. And even though we haven't heard from them yet, hopefully we will. And we'll hear some great things of how God used that opportunity. And then, of course, I want to thank Brother Ricky and Brother Michael and all the men and Drew that took part in our fireworks display. Had a great time. It was just a great, great, great evening service, and what a blessing it was. And then, of course, the food. I couldn't forget the food. Amen. As always, we enjoy eating here at Lighthouse Baptist Church. But it was a great, great service and to celebrate our nation's birthday. Amen. 245 years. And God's not finished with her yet. Amen. I'll tell you, when God finishes with America, America will cease to exist. In fact, I was going to bring a message this morning. May do it next week. I don't know. God kind of changed my focus this morning and moved me in this direction. But on where is America heading? Where is America headed? And just a thought that the Lord had given me. In fact, that was before I had all that prepared before Brother Pollard came and preached last week. But I will preach that message someday. Don't know when. Maybe next week. But anyway, where is America headed? Jeremiah chapter 7, you found your place this morning. Stand with me as we honor God's Word and the reading of it. We enjoy doing this. Just the privilege of being able to honor by standing and as we share God's Word with you this morning. We know as Jeremiah here, one of the great prophets of God, used of God in a very traumatic time in the time of the nation of Israel. We know that they had been taken captivity into Babylonian captivity, and God had shared with them beforehand that they would be there for 70 years. And as we read on over in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, I've brought this message a number of times over the years, but during that passage of Scripture, God is reminding Israel of what they're going to face during this time of great trial and tribulation, time of God's judgment and wrath and punishment upon them because of their disobedience, because of their idolatry, and their failure to follow God. But we find here that God told them to make the best of a bad situation there in chapter number 29. But here in chapter 7, we find some of the sins that are leading the nation up and the reason that they're in the condition that they're in and where they're at because of these particular sins, one in particular that I will share with you this morning that God has laid upon my heart. Jeremiah chapter 7, beginning in verse 1, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word. By the way, that's what I'm doing today. I am standing in the gate of God's house, at God's sacred desk, the pulpit, and I am proclaiming the word that God has declared. Hear the word of the Lord, all ye Judah, that enter in at the gates to worship the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doing. I don't know about you, but I'm going to tell you that's a great message right there. And I believe that's what God's saying to the church. I believe that's what God is saying to America. I believe that's what God is saying to every individual today, is to amend your ways. What He's saying is, get it right. Make it right. There are some things in your life. There are some things in my life. There are some things in our nation today that we need to get right. We need to get right with God. Amen. We need to get our families in order. How many would say amen there?
Amen.
We need to get our church back in order. Amen. We need to get our government back in order. So many things that we need to amend. And He says, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Now verse 4. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. For if ye thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if ye thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if ye oppress not the stranger and fatherless and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt. I'm going to tell you, there's just several things right there that that America itself is guilty of. Then as we read on in verse 7, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will ye steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom ye know not, and come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations? Is this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. There's not one thing that is hid from the eyes of the Lord. The Bible reminds us that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. As the writer of the book of Hebrews declares that all things are open and naked unto the eyes of Him in whom we have to do. Folks, there's not one thing today that we can hide from God that God is not aware of. God knows all things. He's omniscient. That means that He knows everything. He knows those things that are hidden from sight. He knows those things that are hidden from you and I. He knows all things. And we're thankful for that today. I'd like to bring a message this morning entitled, A Nation of Liars. A Nation of Liars. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow in Your presence, Lord, we thank You. Thank You for the reading of Your precious holy word. We ask now that You would bless it. And Lord, as Your word is rightly divided this morning, I pray that You would illuminate it in our hearts and our minds. Lord, that it would be helpful and beneficial to us all. Lord, as we see this sin in the life of Your people, I pray, dear God, that, Lord, we'd see it in our own lives. And Lord, that we would repent of these sins. Lord, that we'd be drawn back closer to You. For all that You do, we'll be careful to thank You and praise You. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. There are two verses here in verse 4 and in verse number 8. The prophet Jeremiah says, trust ye not in what? Lying words. I think about that today, that there are so many today, and as he declares in verse number 8, behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. While Brother Ron was sitting there talking about Sunday school this morning, he got off a little bit on creation, and I began to think about the lies that many Christians believe today, the lies that many of our churches and religion around the world, of what they believe, the lies of the devil. One of them is that of creation. I thought about that. Do you realize today that when we think about God's glorious creation, that God created everything that exists in 6 literal days? Now, I realize today that there are a lot of Christians that believe in theistic evolution. They believe in the gap theory. They believe that that there was a space of probably millions of years between Genesis chapter 1, where the Bible said, in the beginning God, and then God began to create certain things. Listen, my God does not have to have a lapse of time to create anything. God spoke and it was done. Literally, it was done in six literal days. I hope today you, as a child of God and a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and a member of the true church of God, that you don't believe that lie as many Christians believe. I thought about another lie that many Christians have a tendency to believe, and that's Calvinism. Calvinism, where some believe that God elected a certain people to be saved and a certain people to be lost. I'm going to tell you today, as the Bible declares, that Jesus Christ's blood cleanses every man, woman, boy, and girl from their sins. And when He came to die, He died, as the Bible said, for the sins of the whole world. 1 John chapter 1 says, and He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins, what did He say? Of the whole world. Praise be unto God. His atonement for salvation is not limited to the elect. It's not limited to the predestined. But it's made possible to whosoever will. For whosoever will, the Bible said, let him come and take of the water of life freely. I'm glad today I don't believe that lie as many do today. And folks, let me say, there are a lot of lies out there that we have a tendency to believe. But that's what Jeremiah the prophet was exposing here in the lives of the nation of Israel, were the lies that they had believed, but not only the lies in which they believed, but the lies that they were telling themselves. Do you realize this morning that the nation of Israel, they are the people of God. They are God's chosen. They are God's elect. And as Brother Pollard made mention, and I appreciate this, that he said, God is not finished with the nation of Israel. By the way, we need to keep our eyes tuned to what goes on there, because a lot of what goes on there will determine the next step that God takes in the life and the ministry of the church. It's still the Jew first and also to the Greek. Don't ever think that God has written them off. But we know that the nation of Israel are the people of God, and that they were supposed to be, as Peter describes them, a chosen generation. They were supposed to be a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. But what had they become? They had become a nation of liars. I believe that's one of the sins that plagues our country today, is that of lying. Of lying. You know, I've been watching several programs on television here recently and I have been purposely looking for various things. Do you realize that there is not a television program that is on the air, that does not promote or endorse lying? We think something as innocent as Andy Griffin. But do you realize that even in a show of that nature, that you think, boy, this is a good, wholesome show, but I'm gonna tell you, they promote lying. They promote it. They endorse it. And it rolls off of their lips like they've done absolutely nothing wrong whatsoever. I ask you this morning, have you ever told a lie before? I have. Have you ever? Anybody? Am I preaching to a bunch of liars today? We've all lied. We too are a nation and a people of liars. I remember, my mother will probably remember this, when I was a little boy, that I took some stones, I broke out a window. I still had the stones in my hand, and my mother asked me, did you break that window? I said, no, I didn't. I still had the evidence of it in my hand. I think about lying, and I think about our founding father, George Washington. I realize that this is only a myth, but when George Washington was supposedly 6 years old, he was given a hatchet, or maybe an axe, as a birthday gift. And he went out and he damaged his father's cherry tree. And you've heard this before, as I have. But you know, he was asked, he said, George, did you harm my cherry tree? And what did George say? I shall not do what? I shall not tell a lie. Have we ever lied before? Have you ever lied to your spouse before? Think about this. This is a personal self-examination that I ask you this morning. Husbands, have you ever told your wife a lie before? Now realize today, a lie is anything that is not the truth. Even though it's a partial truth, as you've heard me say, a partial truth is a complete and total what? Lie. Have you ever told your spouse a lie? Ladies, let me ask you this. Have you ever lied to your husbands this morning? Parents, have you ever lied to your children before? Children, have you ever lied to your parents before? Have you ever lied to a friend before? A co-worker? Let me ask you this. Have you ever lied to your preacher before? I have to ask myself, have I ever lied to our congregation before? Have I ever lied to church members? Have you ever lied to your employees? If you're an employer and you employ people, have you ever told your employees a lie? Or let me ask you, those that may work for somebody, have you ever lied to your employer before? I ask you this question this morning. Is it ever right to tell a lie? Is it ever right? If it's not right, then why do we do it? Why do we tell a lie? We find here that America and this world in which we live have long since been a nation like the nation of Israel, a nation of liars. Listen to what one writer said about our society. Our society says lying is normal. Do you realize that? It's normal for people to lie. It ought not to be. It ought not to be for a child of God. It ought not to be for a Christian. A Christian husband should not lie to his wife. A Christian wife should not lie to her husband. Christian parents shouldn't lie to their children. Christian children shouldn't lie to their parents. And Christians should never lie to their employers, and they should never lie to their pastors. But lying is normal. Listen to this. One writer said, lying is necessary. Is it necessary to lie? That's a lie that we have believed. That's a lie of the devil that we have believed ourselves, that it is necessary. I've got to lie to get by. But you know what one lie does? One lie leads to another, and another to another, and another, and another, and another, and another. To when your whole life is consumed, and your whole family is consumed, and your whole existence is consumed, and your whole nation is consumed with lies. Some people will say lying is not a problem if you know how to use them right. A lot of politicians believe that, do they not? That lying is not a problem as long as you use it correctly. Can you use a lie correctly? No, you cannot. One writer said we need lying to make things work. We need lying to make things work, like our marriages. Our marriages, he says, our marriages will fall apart, they'll crumble if we do not lie. If we're completely and totally honest in our marriages will fall apart. He said it takes lying to make our friendships work, to make businesses work, to make politics work, to secure our relationships and our internal relationship with other people. It even takes lying to make religion work. It may take lying to make religion work, but not true Christianity. This is the attitude of our society. And by the way, it's a lie. I ask the question again, is lying always wrong? Is it always wrong and in every case is it always wrong to lie? Absolutely. It's always wrong. As Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said, it's never right to do wrong in order to get the opportunity to do right. Lying, big or small, is always a sin. James chapter 4, verse 17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. How do we know lying is a sin? Because if you'll read in the book of Exodus, chapter number 20, the ninth commandment forbids lying. That we are not to bear false witness against our neighbor. That is lying, and God forbids it. Proverbs chapter 6, the Bible says, there are six things that the Lord doth hate, and seven are an abomination unto him. In verse 17, he says, there's the first thing that God hates is a proud look. The second thing that God hates is what? A lying tongue. God despises a lying tongue. He hates that and despises that. Turn with me back to the book of Psalms, chapter 120. Psalms 120 this morning. By the way, it's getting a little quiet this morning. If you agree with me, say amen. Even though we may be guilty. By the way, remember this. I may have a finger pointing at you today, but I've got four more pointing back at the preacher here today. I'm preaching to myself today as well. We want to guard ourselves from God's wrath and judgment upon a nation of liars. We don't want to fall into that category. We don't want to fall into the trap and the snare of the devil. Listen to what the psalmist declares here in Psalms 120. He said, in my distress I cried unto the Lord and he heard me. I'm thankful for that. His prayer was, deliver my soul, O Lord, from what? From lying lips and a what? A deceitful tongue. I'm going to tell you, that's a prayer that every single one of us ought to pray this morning. Is God, you will deliver me. You'll deliver my soul. From lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. In other words, help me, God, to be truthfully honest in everything that I do. Verse number 3. What shall be given unto thee, or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? Sharp arrows of the mighty with coals of juniper. Woe is me that I sojourn in Mesca, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. My soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Every one of us, folks, this morning ought to pray that God would deliver us from the sin of lying this morning. Let me say that truth is always truth, and a lie is always a lie. When I think about that, I think about so many things. I think about today in the book of Isaiah chapter 59 and verse number 14. The prophet Isaiah there describes the nation and the time and the period just along with Jeremiah when he said that truth is fallen in the street. again describing the nation, describing the people of that nation, just like America. What has America done with truth? America has thrown truth out the window. Has thrown truth out the window. America does not want the truth. Sad to say, our families do not want the truth. Our churches do not want the truth. That's why they have chosen to believe a lie rather than the truth. In Romans chapter 1, Brother Ron was sharing some of these verses this morning, describing a nation under God's wrath. But he said that they changed what? The truth of God into what? A lie. And they worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. What are they doing, folks? What is our world? What is our country? What is our nation doing? They're trying to change the truth of God, God's holy word, into a lie. That's what they're doing. When you try to rewrite the design of sacred matrimony and marriage, I'm going to tell you, and to go the ways of the world, I'm going to tell you, what are you doing? You are telling a lie. Amen. And that's what the devil wants. When you're saying out there, when you believe that it's natural. It's natural for somebody that is born a woman to be a man, and a man or a person that's born a man to become a woman. I'm going to tell you this morning, you believe in a lie of the devil is what you're doing. You believe in a lie of the devil. And that's what God says that we're to avoid. But they change the truth of God into a lie, and they worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. And as Paul describes those last days in the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 4, when he says there that they turn away their ears, what, from the truth, and shall be turned unto what, fables? That's lies. That's what's happened, folks. That's what's happened to our nation. That's what's happened to our world. That's what's happened to our churches. Is they are believing the lie. And sad to say, they had rather believe the lie than to believe the truth. They had rather believe the lie than to believe the truth. But truth is always truth, and a lie is always a lie. I want to ask this question: when and where did lying begin? Turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter number 12. We see here this morning where lying began. Revelation chapter 12, beginning in verse number 7, the Bible said, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon." Now, who's the dragon, by the way? If you don't know who the dragon is, I'll tell you, it's the devil. It's Lucifer. He's the father of all lies. So there was war in heaven. And Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. In other words, they didn't win. Praise God. By the way, the devil will never win. Though he may appear to be winning right now, the devil's day is coming. One day he's going to destroy, the Lord Jesus is going to destroy him with the brightness of his coming. One day he's going to bind the old dragon, as the Bible said in Revelation chapter 20, with that great chain, and he's going to be bound in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And when he is loose for a season, after that, God's going to forever bind him and hurl him into the lake of fire forever and forever and forever. Verse 8, "And prevail not, neither was their place found any more in heaven." This was when the devil was what? Cast out of heaven. Now remember, the devil, Lucifer, was an archangel. He was the anointed cherub of God. And he revolted and rebelled against God in heaven. And as a result of it, the book of Ezekiel chapter 28 and Isaiah chapter 14 records that event of Satan being cast out of heaven into the sides of the pit. Verse number 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. Notice what it said, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Why? Because he was deceiving. He was deceptive. What did he do in the days of Adam and Eve? What did he do to dear old Eve? He deceived her. You remember there in Genesis chapter 3 when he said to Eve, yea, hath God said, what it was he doing? He was casting shadow upon the very word of God, because God had already told Adam and Eve that in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And what did the devil do? He did the same thing that he's telling people today. He presented the same lie to her that he's telling people today. He said, ye shall not surely die. Just put God to the test and see. You don't think God will put you in hell? You don't think God will damn your soul to an eternity in the lake of fire forever and ever? Just put him to the test and see. You'll be just like the rich man one day, that when he died, the Bible said in hell, he lifted up his eyes being in torment. Just put God to the test and see. But we find in John chapter 8 and verse number 44, the Bible says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your fathers ye will do. In other words, we were all born with a sin nature. We were all born with that Adamic nature. We were all born, what, liars? Just like our father the devil. Every one of us. The Bible said he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. There's no truth in him, for when he speaketh of a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Where and when did lying begin? It began with Lucifer. It began with the devil in heaven. And God cast him out. Let me say that today Satan uses the puppets of this world to spread his lies. They come in many forms. They come in the form of politicians. They come in the form of educators. They come in the form of doctors and lawyers and friends and family members. They come in the form of pastors and Sunday school teachers and religious leaders of all kind. When we listen to the media, whether it be by social media, whether it be by television or computer, what can we believe out there? Let me say, there's only one thing that we can truly believe. There's only one thing that is absolute truth, and that is this sacred book called the Bible. That's why in John chapter 17, Jesus declared, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So when and where did lying begin? The devil. The second thing that we see, the Lord had the prophet Jeremiah prophesy of the coming crisis of lying. And back in the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 8 and chapter number 9, that's exactly what Jeremiah, here in chapter 7, he was talking about them trusting. He was warning them not to trust in lying words, to beware of it, don't be drawn into that trap. And that's one of the things as your pastor, as your spiritual leader, as God's man today, is I warn you, don't be drawn into that trap of believing lying words out there. You remember in Galatians chapter 1 when Paul was warning of the false teachers of those days that would come in? And Acts chapter 20 talked about the grievous wolves that would enter in, not sparing the flock. The messages that they would come. Peter describes there that they, with their with their feigned words? Would they deceive the hearts of the simple? There in Galatians chapter 1, Paul says, the we, or an angel from God, or an angel from heaven, literally, and I'm paraphrasing this, present unto you another gospel, the Bible said, let him be accursed. Don't believe the lies. Don't believe the lies, and that's what Jeremiah was warning here. And then in chapter 8 and in chapter 9, we find here he begins to expose their lies and their lying ways. Listen here in chapter number 9. He says, oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Jeremiah was brokenhearted over the condition of his nation, as we ought to be brokenhearted over the condition of our nation. We ought to be brokenhearted over the condition of our church. We ought to be brokenhearted over the condition of our families and even over our own spiritual conditions. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them. For they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. Notice in verse 3, they bend their tongues like their bow for what? For lies. But they are not valiant for the truth. You know what he said? He said they love lying. Sad to say that there are many, and there could be some right here in this very auditorium this morning, or in the sound of my voice, who may be listening online this morning, who love lying more than they do the truth of God. Lying had become commonplace in these people's lives, and God was exposing this and the judgment of wrath to come upon those that lie. I liked this right here, this statistic. One conservative poll said that at least 10% of communications between spouses, husbands and wives, at least 10% of it, of everything that we say, 10% of the communication that we have with our husbands or our wives are lies. What's that saying? We're lying a lot of the time, aren't we? And that's a very conservative number there, probably far greater than that, goes on every day. I ask the question, why do we lie? Listen to these reasons. Many people lie because they fear the outcome of something. They fear the outcome of something. They fear the wrath or the judgment to come. They feel the consequences that may come if they tell the truth. Let me say this, you'll never go wrong by telling the truth. You'll never go wrong by telling the truth. I remember there was a man back years ago, and some of you will know exactly who I'm talking about. There was a man and his sister that came to this church for a while, and this church reached out and tried to help them in a number of ways. We helped them out financially. We bought groceries for them. We even, Brother David even had a job for the man at the time. And he turned around, and I had told him up front, I said, as long as you'll be truthful to me in this church, I said, we'll reach out and we'll try to help you in all that we can do. But I said, the day that you lie to me, I said, I'm going to write you off. You're finished. And I caught the man in a lie, and I stood right there in that hallway, and I told him, I said, I'm finished with you. This church is finished with you. No more. I said, we have done everything. We bought you groceries. We provided for your household. We've even provided you a job, and you turned around and lied about it. Listen, don't come. I said, we're finished. I said, don't expect a handout anymore. I didn't tell him he couldn't come to church, but I said the handout was over with. I'm not going to put up with a liar. God does not tolerate lying. That's one of the things that God says that he hates, is he hates lying. He hates the deception of mankind. But many men lie because they fear the outcome or the consequences. They lie to hide the wrong that they've done, to cover up. Remember when Moses slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand? What did Adam and Eve do when God found them out? They began to blame one another and other things. Other people lie to avoid punishment. Many lie to protect their reputation. But I'm going to tell you, there's nothing that'll harm your reputation and your testimony more than being found out in a lie. And as Brother Ron quoted it this morning in Numbers chapter 23 and verse 32, be sure your sins will find you out. Some people lie to destroy the reputation of others. That's why the Bible says that we're not to bear false witness against our brother or against our neighbor. We're not to lie against our neighbor. But some people tell lies to destroy the testimony and the reputation of others. Do you realize today there have been times in my life that people have told lies against me, trying to destroy my reputation and my testimony? Why do people lie? To hide personal insecurities, to avoid issues. Many people don't want to face the realities and responsibilities of life, and rather than to do those things, they lie their way out of it. Some people lie to avoid hurting people with the truth. What did Judas Iscariot do when he went up and kissed Jesus? He lied. He lied. That's why the writer of the book of Proverbs, Solomon, says this, that faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are what? Deceitful. 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 I realize that at times we don't want to hurt people. I remember Brother Billy Gooseby saying this many years ago, and I've used this hundreds of times over the years in a number of sermons. But we have a tendency at times when we're talking to people about their condition, we say that, well, we don't want to offend them. We don't want to tell them that they're going to die and go to hell. It may offend them. It may hurt their feelings. Brother Gooseby, you say, how much further can you offend them? They're going to hell. They need to hear the truth. We can speak the truth in love, as the Bible declares that we are to do. We find that other people lie to flatter other people, to advance their own agenda, to get their own ways. They lie to avoid telling people things that they don't want to hear, to benefit themselves, and the list could go on and on and on. Why do people sin, or why do people lie? Because it's a part of our sin nature. And one of the most deadly and dangerous forms of lying is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. When we put on airs, when we pretend to be something that we're really not. There are some today that no doubt are Christians, but they want others to think that they're a far greater Christian than what they are. What is that? That's a form of hypocrisy, and that's a lie. When those that are out there that pretend to be Christians who are not at all, what is it? It's a form of hypocrisy. Anytime we pretend, and that's why the Lord, He rebuked the scribes and the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23. Why? Because they made clean the outside of the cup and platter. He said, but within, they're full of dead men's bones. They're full of extortion and extent. He said, before men you appear as white as sepulchre, but within you're full of dead men's bones. When we think about the sin of lying, other great sins that we could name, such as adultery, fornication, drunkenness, murder, stealing. Do you realize all of those sins require lies to support them? Those sins are supported by lies. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter number 12. Beginning in verse 17. The Bible says, "He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness." Praise God, that's what we ought to do. Notice what he goes on to say there in verse 17, "But a false witness, deceit." Verse 18, "There is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health." Verse 19, "The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is what? But for a moment." What did I say? God's going to shut that lying tongue up. God is going to take care of it. Verse 20, "Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace there is joy. There shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. Lying lips are what? An abomination to the Lord." Do you know what the word abomination means? It means the most detestable. To be most detestable, most hated, most despised by God. God says there that lying lips are what? The most detestable sin. That's why Proverbs chapter 6 verse 17 says that God hates a lying tongue. It's an abomination to him. Proverbs chapter 20 verse 17. Bible said the bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with what? Gravel. In other words, when you tell that lie, it may roll off of your lips like honey. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to be awful tasting when the truth is found out. Boy, don't people go to squirming when their sin finds them out? When the liar is found out or caught in his lies and in his deceit? That's what he's saying. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Verse 13 says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Verse 14, "For God shall bring every work into judgment and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." In other words, God just reminding us that God's going to expose the lies one day. Lying by definition is this: anything that is not the truth. And by the way, what is our standard for truth? Our standard for truth is this book right here. That's the standard. A lie is anything that is not the truth. Lying can be described as a betrayal of others, as Judas betrayed Jesus. It is a form of hatred and contempt. Proverbs chapter 26 verse 28 says this: "A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin." How truth is that? Get that? A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it. When you lie to someone, you know what you're saying to that individual? If a husband lies to his wife, he's saying, "Honey, I hate you." If a wife lies to her husband, she's saying, "Honey, I hate you." When a parent lies to their children, they're saying, "Child, I hate you." That's what the Bible says. This is not the preacher's word. This is the word of God. That's what Jeremiah was exposing and was warning there, prophesying, that they believe not the lies, but they stand by their truth. The Bible reminds us that we are to put away lying as a new believer. A new believer in Christ Jesus, as one that loves God and one that has been made new in Christ Jesus. We're to put away lying and we're to speak truth, every man with his neighbor. As I quoted a few moments ago, we're to speak the truth in love. And as I quoted the ninth commandment, that we are not to bear false witness or to lie against our neighbor. Speaking the truth is a sign of true friendship. True friendship. Proverbs 27:6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Psalms 37, verse 18. Let lying lips be put to what? Silence. Let's follow the example and Word of God. I ask you the question, is it ever right to tell a lie? Is it ever right? Ever. You say, well, I don't want to hurt somebody. Is it ever right to tell a lie? Never. Paul says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. You know what he was saying? No, no, no. It's never right to sin. It's never right to tell a lie. You'll never go wrong, let me say, by telling the truth. Proverbs chapter 3. Turn with me there. Proverbs chapter 3. Beginning in verse 1. Solomon says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Do what? Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tables of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and men. Folks, we need to fill our hearts. We need to fill our minds. We need to fill our lives with truth. When we do, we won't be so prone to wonder. We won't be so prone to deceit. We won't be so prone to lie. The psalmist said in Psalms 119, verse 163, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Folks, we're guilty. Every one of us. We're guilty of lying to others. Sad to say, we're guilty of lying to God. We're guilty of lying to God. But the sad truth is, you can't hide anything from God. God knows the truth. He sees all things. He knows all things. He knows what we do in darkness. He knows what we do in the dark corners of our lives. He knows those things. Why try to lie to God? And then, sad to say, most of all, we lie to ourselves. And the truth is that we've lied to ourselves so often that we have begun to believe our own lies. That's what's really bad. That's what King Saul did. You remember King Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 15? When the prophet Samuel exposed the lie of King Saul, God had told Saul to go in and destroy the Amalekites, to take none of the spoil, to take no refuge, to take nothing whatsoever. And King Saul, he thought, hey, we're gonna have a big barbecue. We're gonna take the best of the herds, the flock. We're even gonna take Agag, the king, and we're gonna make a great sacrifice to God. But that was not what God had told him to do. He had believed the lie of the devil. Just as many of us have done. We believe the lie of the devil that our own way is better than God's way. Our way will never be better than God's way. The Bible said, as for God, His way is what? Perfect. In other words, it doesn't need anything else. But that's what Saul thought. Saul thought, hey, God, you need a little help. God doesn't need our help. God needs us to stay out of the way, and God needs us to obey Him and not listen to the lie of the devil and do our own thing. But when the prophet Samuel exposed the lie of King Saul, what did King Saul say? King Saul said, I have obeyed the commandment of the Lord. I wonder how many times he had to tell himself that lie to believe it. He had told himself enough to believe it, or he wouldn't have told it. We lie to others, we lie to God, and we lie to ourselves. Is lying always wrong? Absolutely. Now, if I ask you today, what do you think about the sermon? Don't tell me you loved it if you didn't. I've got alligator hide. Some don't. I can take the truth. That's why I'd rather hear a sermon like this right here every day. I realize that a message like this and a sermon like this is one of those that may be few and far between, because this has truly exposed sin in our lives. Sin that's at home in our lives. Why? Because we've all been guilty of lying. We're all by nature liars. That's why we have to crucify this flesh, because the flesh wants to lie. But we have to crucify it. We have to mortify these members which are upon the earth. This member wants to lie. Why? Because that's my old nature. That's your old nature. We have to crucify it. We have to overcome it. We have to come to a place in our life where we love God's law more than we do the lie. Prophet Jeremiah was warning. Don't believe the lies out there. Don't believe the lie. Don't be involved in the lies. That's what our nation has become. Just like them, a nation of liars. It's time that we begin to be truthful to God. God, I'm a sinner. God, I have lied. Lord, I have been deceitful. I haven't lived up to your word. And today I ask humbly, I ask your forgiveness. I seek your forgiveness. I repent of these things. I turn from these things. And with your help and with your strength, I'm going to live the truth. I'm going to live a truthful life. I'm going to be honest with others. I'm going to be honest with you. And I'm going to be honest with myself today. Remember what the prophet said to begin with? What did he do? He said, amend your ways and your doings. If you're sitting here today thinking, everything's okay with me, you know what you're doing? You're trying to tell yourself a lie. Because I know everything's not okay with you. Just like everything's not okay with me. We amend our ways by first realizing that there's a need. There's a need today in all of our lives. There's a need in America. There's a need in this church. There's a need in churches all over. There's a need in our personal lives. Let's amend our ways today and our doings by being truthful and honest with ourselves and with God and with others. And what is the outcome of it? God's blessing. He declared that, God's blessing. God's blessing on our lives. God's blessing on the land. God's blessing on our nation. Amen. You've heard the truth today. No lie. Let's stand with our heads bowed, eyes closed. Lord, we thank you and love you. Lord, as difficult as a message like this is for all of us, it's definitely something we need. Today, Lord, I did my very best to preach in an attitude of love and compassion. Lord, because I realize today that I'm guilty of the same sin as everyone else is. Lord, I am by nature a sinner and by nature a liar. We were born that way. And Father, I pray that you would help each of us to strive today to begin by amending our ways, by acknowledging and seeing the error of our way, our shortcomings, our falling short of the glory of God, our sinful lives and nature. Lord, help us to acknowledge these things. As we're reminded in Proverbs 28:13, that he that covereth his sin, that's lying, shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth it, that's being truthful, and forsakes it, that's being truthful, shall have mercy. Help us to be honest with you and honest with others and honest with ourselves today. And if there is a need, Lord, help us to confess that need, repent of it, and move forward for the glory of God. Bless this invitation, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. What number?